All right, we are here and it's time for our interactions with you. And so Daniel has the microphone, so who shall begin?
Good afternoon, Galexis.
Hello.
I have a question in regards to, you were talking about earlier, the inner child, and I find myself in relationships fluctuating between the inner child and my adolescent, and allowing my adolescent a lot of times with her ego and her need to be vindicated, coming forward in relationships. And she has like a lot of negative beliefs and experiences. And my inner child has a lot of woundedness and sadness and a lot of stuff going on. And my question to you is, how would I be able to now shed all of these ways of living in relationships and these beliefs now that the whole soulmate thing is a whole nother theory? And how do we now begin to clear that inner child and inner adolescent stuff? How are we able to clear that?
All right. Well, of course, to clear anything, first of all, you do have to be aware of it. Okay. The first thing is to be aware of it. When you are thinking about a relationship or thinking about talking with somebody and you hear the inner child in there, with its emotional mood bubbling up, saying whatever it says. You know, it may say, oh, I need, or, oh, but what if, and I don't know if I'm safe, and the emotions that go with that, or whatever. As soon as you start feeling the resistance of it, even, and you were able to do it, when you are thinking about it, not necessarily when you're actually, you know, in a relationship. So it's phenomenal for you that you have this connection with your inner child, you see, in your inner adolescent already. You see those parts of yourself. You hear them. You feel them. You know them. And so the first part, of course, is to identify which one it is. If it's the child, your response is going to be different, of course, and your workings with it than if it's the inner adolescent. Now, you may have both going on simultaneously, and the adolescent may be saying this and that, and the child saying this and that and the other. You've got this kind of overlay and flux of emotions and stuff going on, and the young adult may be getting in there too, and fantasizing about the grander view through the rest of your life and your destiny and da-da-da-da-da, and really putting all sorts of spin on it. And so if you can kind of sense who is who, this can be very helpful. Right? That's the first thing. The second thing is to be able to look at it from a position or place of you as the light being, with a genuine sense of concern, love, and appreciation for yourself. And it is if you can be there, then you can be, in a sense, distinct from and separate from the child and the adolescent. It's most critical to really sustain that distinction between you, the adult, and hopefully more and more the spiritual adult, from the child, adolescent, or young adult, to get that distinction so that your awareness of it means that you, the light being, is aware of these parts inside of yourself. Because when you get that awareness, that distinction, then you can feel that compassion and love for that part of yourself that's in pain. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Right. It's awfully tempting sometimes when they come up to slide into them, to lose the distinction. And when you do that, you lose your power to change anything. So it's really important to stay in your powerful self, in your compassionate, loving, caring adult self. And here is a place where you could really use some healthy self-mothering, right? So first of all, is that as the child is in her sadness and her despair and so forth, in her pain, and the adolescent in her rage, her anger, her terrors, all those kinds of things, to have that compassion and, in a sense, in meditation to each one, in time, in turn, to go and be with that one and say, I hear you, I feel your need, I feel your call, I love you, and come, let me just hold you. Let me just give you my love. Let me just love you. See, no judgment. No, stop doing that. No, come, let me love you. I know you need so much love. I know you missed it. I know you feel scared. I know you don't feel safe. I know. Just come, be in my arms. Feel the safety. I'm going to give it to you right now. You see?
Yeah, I do that as well.
All right.
Yeah.
And to the adolescent, sometimes the adolescent doesn't really like to be held. You know how adolescents are. It's like, ooh, you know. But at the same time, you can just sit with them and put your hand on their hand and say, I understand, and I'm with you, and I know that your life is hard, can be hard, and I know what you're feeling, I know what you're going through, and I want you to know it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. Give them some reassurance. Give them some care. Give them some love. Now, once you start doing that, and since you've already, say, you've already done some of that, you're already feeling some shifts and changes going on. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be when you got lost there and could not see you outside of that point of reference. You couldn't see yourself as the light being. And your idea of being strong was tough. Okay, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to armor myself. I'm going to cover myself with my armoring, ha ha. See, and people can try to wound me, ha ha, but I've got my shields up. I will not be wounded. I'll protect and defend myself. And of course, that's a response to feeling unsafe. So, that's not an adult response, but that's what most people learn as their compensation as they get into adulthood. So you want to make sure that you don't go and spend time there. Don't go into the compensations of it, right? Let yourself for a while float free. Let yourself feel the vulnerability of it. All right? Now, this is still part of that second step. The third step is to forgive yourself, just like in the preparatory steps we were talking about before, to forgive yourself for having spent so much time identifying with your child and with your adolescent, identifying with those old pains and so on, to forgive yourself for letting your child and adolescent step in and dominate your emotional body. You know that it was necessary. It was a feedback coming from within you that was telling you you needed to do something about it. So forgive yourself. To be good with yourself. Don't judge yourself. To say, why am I still doing this after all this time? And I know it's my child self, but I haven't gotten her cleared out. You know, what's wrong with me? Don't let yourself even touch that particular area. It's not about that. It's not about whipping yourself into shape or making yourself better or pushing yourself forward. But just being very easy and very loving on yourself, just as you are to them. All right? Just easy, relaxed. That's just, you know, that's the way it's been and that's what seems to come up and that's what seems to happen. And then the fourth step is to give them what they need. Now, yes, you've loved them. You've taken the judgment off of them. You've taken you've taken the loneliness out of them. You've Let them know you're with them. But you see, what you set up as you were growing up and as you entered into adulthood, not knowing yet in your 20s how to really cope with the big wide world, your child and your adolescent were given the role of advisors to you in your reality creation process. Your child was advised that any time that you felt unsafe, that your child would come running in and saying, "Danger, danger, it's unsafe, it's unsafe. Protect, defend, run, hide," whatever, you know, whatever strategies. Or your adolescent would come in and say, "Uh-oh, oh no, you know, your boundaries are being violated, and this and that's, oh gosh, no, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, it's all going to be horrible, better stop now and run away, better stop doing this, better shut up, better blah, 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 do whatever compensation." So basically, you've been using them as your advisors. So every time you think of something that you desire, something that you want, something new, opening up to your future, your child's inner child and your inner adolescent feel required to rush in and say, "Oh no, oh no, you can't do that. It's dangerous. You can't do that. That's the unknown. It's not safe. You can't do that. You know how it always turns out. It's disastrous. You know what kind of people always, you know, are attracted to you. You know what, that you always put your foot in your mouth at this point. You know that this is what always happens." That's what they've been doing. And the young adult will come in and say, "No, no, don't get intimate. Don't get close. Stay in the fantasy. It's safer there. It's really much nicer there. Wait for the real good thing to come." It's a young adult that says, "Okay, you know, there's no way I'm going to create this income. I've just got to win the lottery." It's very unrealistic, that young adult. So when the young adult comes in, the young adult's basically going to say, "I don't know how you're going to get from here to there. Maybe it'd be best just not to try." So after all that discouragement, you see, basically, in a sense, it's a protective device for you to protect you from taking risks. And so you will shut down. And in the past, haven't you done that?
I'm a risk taker.
Ah.
I'm a risk taker big time.
All right. So that's been your MO, yes?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to push myself beyond these boundaries, yes?
Running. I got to get the hell out of here. Has been my thing. If, you know, my inner child or my adolescent will start screaming, "Kim, run, run, run," I'll pack up my car and I'll run. But you know what? Wherever I ran to, that person or that situation is still very much alive, living in me, ruling my everyday emotions.
Right, because you may have run physically, but you obviously don't run emotionally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and eventually, physically, I end up back.
Right,
there.
But look at it this way. You take the circumstance with you. Mm-hmm. Physically, you run because that's what they tell you to do. That's the indication. That's what you have to do for safety. You either don't do it or you run away. You see, essentially, the risk, you know, that you're taking here is the risk is in running, rather than staying and being present and being intimate with yourself. You see, your child and your adolescent say, "No, no, no, leave, leave." But the thing is that you haven't resolved it. So what do your child and your adolescent say about that? Okay, so you've run, you've packed your car, and you've driven away. So, but the emotions stay there. So what are the child and adolescent saying there?
"I'm in pain. I want to die. I don't want to be here anymore. It's too much pain. If this is the way my life is going to be, I don't want to be here. I'm tired."
All right. Now, that's another MO, but that's also a sense of trying to manipulate your reality out of a place of powerlessness. In other words, you're sitting here saying, in a dark place, I don't want to live. I don't want to be here. I want to be numb. I don't want to feel anything. I don't want to be present. I just want to disappear. I want to go away. Now, this is very adolescent. Okay? The adolescent is very into disappearing. They don't want any visibility. They don't want any confrontation. They want to just disappear. The child holds a lot of pain and sadness that it just never has gotten enough love. All right? So the two of them are just, they're holding this energy. What do you do to numb out? What is your strategy for that? How do you kind of suppress them, those voices, that emotion?
I start doing work on myself, energy work on myself.
Okay. What did you used to do? Let's say 10 years ago. What did you do?
Talk about it with a friend on the phone. Go to sleep. Go buy something new.
All right.
Get my hair done. Go out.
Mm-hmm. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Take action. All right. Now, of course, working on it, a much more positive action, that's the adult now, starting to act up, to be part of your life. But the needs of the child and the adolescent, the young adult, have not been fulfilled, and their role as your advisors have not ended. So here's what we would suggest as a final step of this particular process, is that in meditation, you give your child everything she needs. Everything. Give her the perfect parents, the perfect house to live in, the perfect friends that will never be mean to her, the perfect life, the perfect playmates, the perfect situations. Give her parents plenty of money, plenty of things. Make her get a fairy godmother to come and wave a magic wand over the parents. Change them so they're perfect, so they're loving, so they're absolutely wonderful. And that all the circumstances in the family, with everybody and all the kin and the whole family and all the network of the community, all conspires to make it safe for her. And then post as her friend and companion a beautiful guardian angel. Okay? All right. And once she gets everything she needs, all the love, there she is sitting on her parents' lap, being held, being loved, getting everything she needs, everything. And if she wants toys, if she wants this or that adventure, everything, she gets it all. She doesn't have to be mature. She doesn't have to, you know what's going on. She just needs to be drenched in receiving all those things that she needs so she can be totally safe, totally loved, totally nurtured, totally taken care of, totally secure. That's the idea of love for a child. Okay, so just give it to her and give it to her and give it to her and give it to her until she's just like drunk with it. She's just, ah. Oh. And you can feel that the stress on her relieves. You can feel her go, oh, 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 yeah, yeah. As she just sinks into the love. And you tell her, look, this is your birthday present. Doesn't have to be near your birthday at all, but this is your birthday present, little one. I love you, and I want you to do this and experience this life, the right life for you, what you deserve. I do have one request of you, and that is that you don't come into my life anymore. You stay here and just drink in the love. Just be present with the love. Just enjoy it. You don't have to take care of me anymore. You don't have to be my advisor anymore. You don't have to notify me when there's a dangerous situation ahead. You don't have to be participating in my life anymore. And I really would request that you don't, because now I'm an adult now. I've grown on, and I have new resources. So is it agreed? So you agree. Maybe you need to shake hands on it, or you give her a kiss, and she you hug her, and she hugs you, and you agree on it. She's going to stay there and experience all the love and safety that she can handle, right? With that beautiful guardian angel by her side day in and day out. Now, go to the adolescent and do the same thing. You know, tell the adolescent, okay, here's everything you've ever wanted. Here you look absolutely perfectly beautiful. You have every feature you desire. You have, you know, the hairstyle you desire. You have the height, the weight, everything you want. You have the lover that you want. You have the situation that you want, that you have all the money you could possibly have. Give her a money machine. Every time she pushes a lever, a $50 bill comes out. You know? And she can do it all day long if she wants. It's like giving her the lottery. Yeah? So that's what we would suggest there. And you know, plastic surgery, of course, to make her perfect, her body perfect. Give her the perfect boyfriend or whatever she wants. Give her the best friends that will never betray her. Give her the popularity that she wants, the confidence. Give her the absolute confidence. You know, let her be popular, adored, admired. You know, let her have all the adventures she wants. Maybe she needs to have a boyfriend who is absolutely a multi-billionaire. You know? Or the son of a multi-billionaire, and the two of them can just play and do all sorts of stuff. Now, we want to point out that, again, she doesn't have to be responsible or mature. So what does an adolescent want to do? They don't want to be responsible or mature, do they? They want to party. They want to try all sorts of forbidden things. So give it to her. She wants to play with drugs and booze and sex and rock and roll, you know, whatever. Give her everything she wants. Let her live the wild life as if she was some kind of Hollywood starlet, you know. Or whatever life she wants. Whatever would fulfill all her fantasies. You see. But just give it to her and 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 give it to her until she has stars in her eyes and she's going blotto and she's overwhelmed with it and it's just like, whoa, wow, look at that. And then again, extract a promise from her. So look, this is your birthday present and I have a request for you. And your birthday present will disappear if you don't agree. And I would really appreciate it if you agree. And that is for you to stay here and have a great time. Don't come into my life anymore. I'll come and visit you every now and then, say hi. But just have a good time. It's all right. You don't have to come. I don't want you to come anymore and alert me to all the problems that are there and all the potential disasters that are going to befall me. No, I'm the adult, and I have new resources. I'm going on. Here, have what you want. And she'll agree. You see? Now, we're going to do part of that process, actually, as part of the ritual. Because you do need a certain amount of closure with them. It may not be complete, and if not, then we would suggest do it on your own at home. Or you can use this CD of this meditation and do it over and over. We've done it in other workshops as well. This clearing, this letting it go, letting it go, letting it go, and really getting them absolutely out of your day-to-day life. You can do that with a young adult as well. You will be amazed that once this happens, that your motivations will be absolutely gone. All the things that moved you before, all these compensations, all of your MOs of your past are gone. There'll be a period of disorientation. You won't feel that you are knowing where you're going or what you're doing or whether it's coming or going or you're what's happening with your reality. You won't really be clear with it. But what will be clear is that you'll feel a certain emptiness. Now, this is not a lonely emptiness, okay? This is an emptiness of possibility. This is a sense of space in you. And emotionally, you'll feel much different. And so you will be able to rebuild your motivation. The motivation in the past was to protect yourself from pain. That's an instinctual motivation of every human. But your motivation for the future doesn't have to be there. It can be, your motivation for the future can be to have the great love. Your motivation for the future can be to be successful, to celebrate your life, to have a wonderful time, to feel powerful. What it is that's important to you, whatever principles are important to you, that can be what motivates you. Let the future motivate you. The parts of you that have run into trouble is where you've let your past re-motivate you. But when you get the past out of the way, when they have nothing to be motivated against, and they're not freaked out anymore, there's peace in there. And then it's up to you, the powerful light being that you are, to make your choices and to live according to your essential nature. For some people, doing this meditation once or twice is all that's needed. And they're done. It doesn't have to be, you know, years in therapy. Now, that's the kind of the consensus or mainstream view of it is that, oh, you have a wound from your childhood, it's going to take so long to deal with. It doesn't have to. It depends on what your intention is and where you see yourself headed. You will find when you do this type of process, though, that there may be some emotions you are attached to. When the one who channels us went through these emotions, she found that the adolescent was very attached to being angry and blaming. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard for her in circumstances to not just continuously keep pulling up this like anger blame thing at the spur of a moment. But when she gave her adolescent everything that the adolescent wanted, it kind of made that hollow. It made that pattern empty. The anger and the blame didn't seem to have the pizzazz anymore. They didn't have the passion in it anymore. They didn't have the motivation in it. It wasn't kick-ass anymore. It didn't seem to be part of her identity any longer. And when that happened, she was able to say, I make a choice. I'm not going to be addicted to the anger. I'm going to shift this anger from a negative or limiting place into an expansive, positive one. To shift anger, for example, it goes to passion. You don't get angry at anything unless you're passionate about it. So anger points to what are you passionate about? So find what that is. Find what your anger, let's say, is passionate about. And be passionate about that without the anger. It's like a lot of people are very passionate about the environment, but they don't know how to do that without being really, really angry at the industrialists and the polluters and the car companies and blah, 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 blah. And they get really, really angry and blaming and judging and it makes their life hard. It doesn't really hurt the companies as much as it hurts them. But when they begin to realize, wait a minute, you know, when you're angry at somebody and yelling at somebody, does that change their behavior?
No.
They just get more defensive. They just protect and defend themselves. That's instinctive, isn't it? So how would you want the polluters to change? How would you want people to start loving and respecting the earth? If you're passionate about that, go talk about that. You see? Share that. Promote that. And then you'll find that you're promoting a positive energy that is can evoke solutions. Now, we're just using that as an example. Now, if you have fear and tremendous anxiety, and your child or your adolescent is just riddled by fear and anxiety, essentially what that is, that's a shame that is just sitting there in potential, just waiting for you to mess up so that you can judge yourself and so that you can scatter everything and have failure and start all over again. Instead, if you're addicted to fear and addicted, in a sense, to anxiety and panic, translate that into excitement. It's positive. Because fear will always tell you what needs to be addressed within you. Where do you give your power away? Where are you feeling inadequate? Address that. Make choices. And then get excited about your new creations. What you're going to do instead. Where are you going to go instead? And in the hurt and the pain, all that sadness, tremendous sadness. For the adolescent, it goes into self-pity. That's the whiner, the complainer. Won't let other people to see it, of course, because you have to be strong, right? You don't want other people to see this. How do you feel when all of a sudden you look all wimpy and sad around other people? What's your adolescent going to say to that? Uh-oh, boo-boo, we're making a mess in front of other people. Uh-oh, this is embarrassing. Yeah? So what you want to look at there is, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, because that thing, I don't want to live, I don't want to go, that's feeling sorry for yourself. That's the old place. That's the shutdown place. Instead of being there, love yourself. Because it's really kind of you're trying to give yourself permission to not do something, and you're trying to manipulate God and the universe to come take care of you and rescue you. It's a classic thing. I'm waiting for rescue. God, where are you now? Hey, you dumped me here on this planet, and it really sucks. And I don't want to be here anymore. Is an indirect request to the divine to enter your life. But when you're in self-pity and shut down, you won't receive it. Because what is your self-image? A hopeless, helpless basket case. You understand?
Yes.
All right. So love yourself. Love yourself. Now, that could be loving your inner child, loving your inner adolescent, like we talked about before, holding them, or just holding yourself, or just nurturing you, loving you. Write up, sometime you might want to write up a list of good things about yourself that you really like. You can also go to our website, galexisspirit.com, and as you go to the homepage, there'll be a message that will lift up. And if you read that every day, that can keep reminding you who you are. Because as soon as you remember who you are to any extent, as soon as you remember that you're a light being and you're a powerful person and you take your power back, then you're not shut down any longer. Then you can make some choices and make some changes. That process now that we're discussing here sounds complex. But actually, once you go through it once or twice, you can move through it just like so. It becomes something you can do in a matter of a few seconds of a day. You feel the emotions coming up. Oh, okay. Adolescent, you don't have to do that. Go back and have all the success you want. Go. Go party. Okay. And you'll just say that and things will start to shift. You'll step into your power. You realize, hey, it's time for me to make a new choice here. Things will shift so rapidly, you'll stay in your power. You understand?
Yes.
Now, things will keep coming up from the past periodically. But if you will do this process, you will only need a few seconds to respond to it by saying, oops, oh, I got out of my power somewhere. Back in power, girl. You know, step back into your strength. Reclaim who you are as the light being, as the divine being, having a physical body experience. As soon as you go there, bang, you're out of it. The old motivations won't drag you around. The old wounds won't be there, throbbing and hurting as if they had never been healed. That way you can do the preparatory steps for calling the great love. You can do them over and over, and it'll be faster every time. Now, some people think, oh, if you have to do them over, it means that you didn't do it right the first time. So it's not that. What happens is, and this is part of growth, is that growth is a cyclical thing, which means that you do a certain piece of growth, you get bigger, you expand your box, you expand your light, and as you do that, you encounter the next level of limitation. And from there, you get your feedback, you shift, you change, you expand your light, and you keep doing that. All through your life, you're going to keep doing that. You're going to keep becoming more and more and more and more of who you are. That's the key. So every now and then, after you've grown a lot, you'll have a test. That's what we were talking about earlier. There'll be a test. Don't think that's because you didn't grow or you didn't figure it out. You just say, oh, yeah, I've dealt with that, and here's the process. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. And in a few seconds, you're out of it. It could get easier. You can live a life without being concerned you're going to run up against some of those old problems and get stuck and mired in them. Because right now, you have a fear of moving forward. You have a fear of getting mucked and mired up in it. In a way, you'll inhibit yourself because you're afraid, oh gosh, I can't go there because that's where I break down. That's where I fall apart. You understand what we're saying?
Absolutely.
But look at the courage and the confidence and the power you will be able to own when you know that as soon as a challenge comes up, you just go run through the list, bump, da, 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 da. And it's done. You don't go running back to childhood. You don't go running back into self-pity. You don't have to throw the stuff in the car and drive away anymore. You just stay there and say, oh, okay, what's going on here? You can even have the presence of mind, if there's another person there who's the one who's the quote-unquote trigger of this, to say, what do you mean by that? What are you really feeling here? What is it that about me that is really bothering you? Let me hear about it. Now, for most people, to be able to say that, they go, oh, gosh, I don't know if I could do that. But you can. You can. You can be faced with all sorts of emotional problems. The same old crap. And you can respond differently because you're coming from a different place. And then you won't take what everybody else does personally. And you won't be sensitive and at the moment, a moment's notice, slide into child anymore. The child's having a great time. They're over in their life having a fabulous time. Time for you to have a fabulous time in your life now. You can do it by choice. Child cannot, but you can. Adolescent cannot, you can. The luminous human can. You see, that's how it works. Now, that's a long process to discuss But once you've done it, it's a very takes a very short shift of consciousness, and that's all it requires. Does that make sense too?
Yes, it does.
All right. You see, and you're capable of doing that, and you know you are. Don't judge yourself about this in advance, and don't judge yourself if you're not doing it as swiftly or as powerfully as you think you should. You know, keep all those judgments off of yourself in the meantime. This is about loving yourself. This is not about judging yourself. This is not about whipping yourself into shape. This is not about creating a boot camp for yourself. This is about you stepping up into the light being that you are and stepping into who you are becoming. The future is what's important here. Thank you for that question.
Thank you for answering it.
You're very welcome. All right.
Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
Thank you for everything that you've brought already today.
And you're welcome.
The concept of what I'm hearing is that if I create for my spiritual adult, then, you know, much as possible of what I've been dreaming of or what I've had glimpses of. And I think that some of what I've noticed over my life is that I've been almost holding out for it. But I guess I had to go through different stages of being a child and adolescent and a young adult. And I do a lot of work with my inner child and my adolescent and even my young adult. And what I'm noticing is there's a lot of fear present around doing the ritual today, around the concept of really having that very healthy, alive, you know, non-codependent, so independent, vibrant, ever-flowing. Like, it's just, it feels very real. It feels, like, amazing and grounded. And I have to wonder if my negative ego doesn't have a hand in some of me thinking I had to wait a long time to get to this place.
All right. So what is it that comes up for you? What's the message that you're getting then? It's like, oh, I can't just manifest it so easily this.
The message is, and I was surprised to hear this, but
all
it
right.
was something like, you know, because I've done some work with you already with your CDs and had great shifts. It's like, what? Okay. Whoa. If I am really able to feel that clean motivation come through, what am I to overcome? Maybe. It's like,
There's got to be something to overcome?
I guess that's, yeah. I didn't realize it was even that of an overcoming, but... Like, I think it was kind of like when we were talking about the soulmates, and mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know, I didn't realize this until I'm even asking this question. It's like I need this challenge to overcome, and it's the very opposite of what I want. It's very distorted.
Of course,
and
yes.
And as I'm speaking to you, my body is hot, and I have a tremendous amount of fear. Like, you know, it's like all that space. I forget what you called it now, but it's like that space.
The emptiness?
Yeah, the emptiness. Thank you for naming it. That is such a beautiful concept, and it seems so unfamiliar to me, even though I know that's not true, but it seems so unfamiliar to me that I don't know that I can hold that kind of resonance.
All
like,
right.
Can that person really exist? Can we really find each other? Can I really have what I know is true and real? It's like,
all right. This is a value judgment on yourself mm-hmm. that has become a belief. All right? And the belief is this, is that you don't deserve to have it really easy.
Yep,
because you came here and spirituality requires diligent effort. And if you're going to learn something, you have to suffer some. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff for you to learn, to overcome, so that you will eventually prove
yes.
to yourself that you're okay, that you're valuable enough, worthwhile enough, deserving enough to be able to have what you want. And somewhere along the line, you see, you really bought into that you don't deserve that you're not valuable enough just being you. You're only valuable if you do a lot of work, if you demonstrate how proficient you are, if you demonstrate how smart you are, if you somehow or another learn all the tools and the technique and master everything, then you are entitled, then you deserve, then you have earned the right to have something.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And this is what the young adult runs into as a big, big snag. Because the young adult goes into life thinking, okay, I'm going to get together with these other people and we're just going to have a great time. We're going to dream this huge, big dream and we're going to bring it into being and everything's going to go great and everybody's going to do what they say they're going to do and we're going to all follow through and into this wonderful thing and I hardly have to do anything. This is going to be really easy. It's going to be really fun. We're going to have this really great success. And then, of course, the young adult finds out, oops, you know, I have to go and earn money. I have to take a job, and I don't get this. I have to start at the bottom of the market. I don't start at the top of a multi-million dollar, you know, business. I have to start at the bottom and work up. This is boring. This is hard. And then you start learning all the messages around business and work and money and success and blah, 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 blah. And after a while, the young adult says, this is too much. This is too much. I have to do so much more. So they either get into kick where they try to find somebody else to do it for them, or they get on the mastery kick. Okay, I'm going to be on top of this. I'm going to figure every detail out. I'm going to get on top of it. I'm just going to put it together and I'm going to have mastery and I'm going to this detail, that, and I will do it enough. I'll work hard enough and one of these days I will make it over the top. Ah. That's a young adult. All right? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. That makes sense to me. And one piece with that is when you're saying the earning, well, it's like approving, you know, I came from a family that had this and this and this, and look, I was able to heal myself, you know, look at all the work that I did, and now I'm able to have this wonderful relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, so there's where the ego does show up.
Yeah.
Look at me. I did it. I did it. Yeah. Now, yeah, you did. You did. But what the ego wants is in a sense, is to say to the family, nah, 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 nah. Look at me. See, even though you did this to me, look at what I'm doing. Ha ha.
Yes.
You know, and in a sense, that is the vindication program.
Yeah.
Okay. So the vindication program is generally the ego. It's generally the young adult. And it's also some adolescent. It's the same attitude as going back to your high school reunion and, you know, only going if you think you're going to look the youngest and be the most successful and so on and so on. So some people never go to their high school reunions because they know they're not going to be the most successful, the most beautiful, the youngest looking, the blah, blah, blah. And they can't stand to think that, oh gosh, these other people have done so much more, or they're more, you know, assured and they're more successful than I. There's this dilemma about, like, one of these days, I'm going, because of my spirituality, I'm going to achieve a life that nobody had ever dreamed of when I was in high school. And they'll be sorry that they rejected me because I know how to do it right. I know the spiritual way to success. That's the ego.
Yeah.
You see, I'll show them the spiritual way. I'm not doing the success their way. I'm doing it the spiritual way, the better way. There's a condescension mm-hmm. that comes with that, with the ego. The spiritual way, this is the good way. Their way is the bad way. Now, when you have that taint on it, that's the ego part. But know, though, that from inside yourself, from the light being that you are, when you allow yourself to receive the love as well as to give the love, And to do it outside of hardship and struggle, with nothing to prove, nothing to vindicate, nothing to show off. It's really you doing it. It's you, the divine, who is doing it. So, yes, you are doing it.
It feels very, and I love that image, and at the same time, it feels very vulnerable. I can't believe how vulnerable I feel to stand in my power.
Well, you've never felt safe in your power.
I have not. Yeah, that's new.
You know, when you're a child, can you stand in your power? If you stand in the power, say, no!
No.
Who's going to have the last word anyway?
No.
You know, your mother or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're going to take a bath. No! Yes, you are. And yes, you are. You know, it's when you're a child, your attempts at standing up for yourself, your attempts at your power are met with no. When you're an adolescent, you're hoping to stand up in your power, but it's too lonely and solitary a place. You want to belong. You want to be accepted. So you become a clone of everybody else. Where's your power there? None. You've given it to the peers. You've given it to, you know, their approval, you see. So you've been giving your power away and giving your power away, and then even in relationships you've had where you've given your power away to the in the relationship.
Yeah.
And you hadn't stood up for yourself.
No.
And you hadn't spoken your truth. Or when you finally did, it was to blast it out. After it's been held in and held in and held in, and it gets really toxic, and then you blow, and then you say stuff you really are not very nice things to say.
Yeah.
You say it in a certain way that can be damaging and hurtful and revengeful. So knowing all of that, you see, if you can let that go, and remember, as we said before, when you're in your light self, mm-hmm. when you're in your divine self, when you're owning your adult, your true spiritual nature. None of that's there. You can own also that this reality is all your feedback because you've created it. And because you've created it, you can change it. And therefore, you're safe. You're safe. This vulnerability is actually your openness and intimacy with yourself. That's what that vulnerability is about. It's an intimacy with your life. And unless you're intimate with your life and yourself, you'll never love yourself or love your life.
Mm.
The great love requires intimacy.
Yes.
Mm. Right? You don't have a great, great relationship unless you can be intimate. Sex is just one form of intimacy.
Of course.
But the real intimacy is to open and love and care. In trusting that you love them enough and they love you enough that you wish the best for each other. You can't guarantee that you'll get your love back. You can't guarantee that they won't reject you. And there's nothing you can do to assure that. All you know is that you are going to be the one who loves, and you're going to, no matter what they do to you, you'll still love you. And you make that commitment to yourself. And you can always forgive yourself. You can always heal and release your feelings. So you can always heal from any hurt, any damage, any pain, any trauma. You can heal. And when you have that confidence, and you also know that you have the power of choice and creation, this is your life. You created it. The illusion is precise and perfect for you. Once you get that connection, you start playing with it. It's fun. And the mastery is there. There's even an ease to it. It's a magical experience. After a while, you can really tune into the flow of the divine love, of the divine energy. You see? And in that place, you can be vulnerable. And you can feel safe. But your vulnerability is because you're willing to be unconditionally loving. And you're not going to close off for anything or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to limit yourself. You're not going to dance around anybody. You're not going to give any power away. You're going to love. And one of the biggest signs of love and trust in a relationship is that you allow yourself to be vulnerable with another person. That you can trust them enough. And, of course, this is not immediate. You don't trust a person right away because, hey, it sounds good and that's a nice principle and, you know. And the person says, hey, you know, I'll love you forever. You don't trust them. You trust them when you see that what they say is integrous to who they are. And how they behave and how they act is integrous to them. You can be vulnerable and loving of a real scoundrel. But if you know that they're a scoundrel, you know what their parameters are, and you can trust them. You can trust that they will always be the way they are. Mm-hmm. Even if it may not be how you consider being trustworthy. What you don't want in a relationship is utter consistency. That's boring, boring, boring. It's flat. No risk. The risk is a great part of the adventure. Not that there really is such a thing. It's an imagined concept. But it opens you to the vulnerability of the possible. And from there you can dream whatever you wish. So as a light being, claim your safety.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you could just speak just a little bit more around the safety. For some reason, my mind, like when you were saying earlier today, that when you feel safe, you can go anywhere. Like I could go to any part of the world that is, you know, considered or deemed unsafe because I feel safe within.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because you're holding the resonance and living in the resonance and owning.
Yeah.
Owning that energy of safety inside you. Because you're recognizing this is your illusion. Mm-hmm. It's all the mirror of you. Mm-hmm. And if you hold the safety to love yourself, to be intimate with yourself, to care for yourself, and you feel that within yourself, and you hold that energy for you, then your reflection is going to reflect it. In other words, the person who feels the safety, who is on that particular frequency of light, you know, can walk down a street, absolutely safe, and 10 minutes later, someone else will walk down the street and get mugged or shot. But the mugger or the killer or whoever will not be able to be in the same space-time as the light being who's holding the resonance of safety, because that's not a reflection of them. So it cannot manifest for them. Okay.
So good.
We want to point out, though, this may not be in a certain greater context, and this is one of those mysteries of reality, that if you have a partner, that they will be there for you forever. You will feel safe that no matter what happens, you can heal. You can heal pain. You can heal the hurt. You can heal the sorrow. You can heal the rage. You can heal all those things. But the form, which is the actual person being there, or the form, the money, or the form, whatever it is that's the manifested precipitant of your dream, may not be there permanently. Okay? What you will reflect is what it is that you choose to experience as part of your journey. And so whatever that is, you'll show out there. A lot of times, if you have tremendous gratitude and expectations around love, which can build in a really good love relationship, it will stick around a long time. Because it becomes natural to you to have that being there. So it's up to you how you hold the energy.
That's wonderful.
But it's your energy field determines what you get. Anything coming to your reality to manifest in your reality has to be filtered through your frequencies. And if your frequencies are filled with panic and fear, of course, then scary stuff will come through. It's whatever radio station you're tuned to, you'll get that station. Some people are tuned to the rage radio station, right? Where they get really, really angry and they can't do a damn thing about it. Mm. And they're stuck. Mm-hmm. Some people love that one. And they're able to put together all sorts of conspiracy theories, you know, for the government and everything. See what they're doing to us. Rage, rage, rage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an aspect of outrage, but it's held in powerlessness. You see, and they can be stuck there for years and years. They can make good livings on it, too, scaring the heck out of other people. That's the frequency they choose to play in. It's like, okay, here's my pond. I'm going to swim in this one. Or here's my radio station. I just like this one. I'm going to tune in. So just see what shows up in your reality. It's reflecting which choice you've made. But no, you can always change it.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun, though?
It's totally
Isn't
fun.
That exciting?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Alexis. And this is all kind of new to me. I think, mm-hmm. again, just to expound more on the rage is probably useful to me since I'm still trying to understand how we create that ourselves. Even I appreciate that we are responsible for it, but don't quite make the connection of how we can really control it or change that or change our reality.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you have rage, you're not going to be able to manifest a really great relationship. Or if whatever relationships you're in, there are going to be situations in where you keep getting stuck in circumstances that require you to keep your mouth shut or to feel powerless, even if you're upset and angry. Okay? Those are the kind of the trigger points for rage. Okay? So to understand rage is to realize that your self, inner self, your true self, the one who knows your truth, will get outraged about some things. Someone is disrespectful to you. It's outrageous. It's outrageous that this person would step so far over your boundary to treat you in such a way or to judge you or to do whatever they do to you, for example. Outrageous. But if coming with that outrage is a very, very strong message, and usually this message comes from childhood, is there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to put up with it, and maybe it'll blow over. But if you stand up for yourself, if you say anything right now, there's going to be hell to pay. You know that energy? All right? When you were a child, you got that energy quite a bit. So what was your compensation? What did you have to do as a child? Did you shut down? Did you get quiet?
Yeah.
All right. So where did you find yourself as a child? Did you go in fantasy? Did you play by yourself and interact with imaginary playmates? What did you do?
Yeah, that does sound right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what happens is that, and rage is experienced by all children. Rage has two ways of expressing itself. One is that you hold it in and hold it in and hold it in and hold it in, and one day it blows. And you just can't hold it in anymore. Somehow or another, it just comes over the top, spills over the top, and it all goes blah. And all this old anger and pissy stuff and all this victim consciousness and blah, 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 blah just goes pouring over, and all the outrage mingled in with judgments and all sorts of toxic stuff comes pouring out. Generally, that's not received very well by others. And also, your perception of yourself suffers, because very often once that happens, and then you realize what you've done. It's like, oops, you know, I've really made a fool of myself. I've lost control. oh, how embarrassing this is. You know, everybody's looking at, well, there she is. And she's the one that just kind of, you know, blathers stupid stuff. Right? That's one of the ways it comes out. And it's one of the ways that kind of forces you, if you stay stuck in that kind of mentality of the child, that you promise yourself you're going to push it down and be quieter and nicer next time. And so the cycle goes and goes until the pressure builds up and you blow again. The other expression of rage is what we call the frozen rage. And the frozen rage lands in your belief system that somehow or another it's not okay for you to feel, for you to value yourself and to do things that give you pleasure and joy. It's just not okay. That anything that you do is going to bother and upset and offend other people. And so therefore, you need to just keep yourself under wraps. That's the safest thing you can do. Just zip it. And this becomes frozen rage. Frozen rage will bring into your life, the reflectors will show you, will bring into your life people who are very touchy, sensitive, easily defensive, easily offended, hypercritical, reactive people. See what the feedback is? This is all the reflecting, hey, look at what the pattern is. Because look at what you feel when you get around these people. You cringe, you go into shutdown. Oh my gosh. You cringe, you're angry, you feel powerless, and you go and shut it down. You withdraw, you run away, you hide yourself somehow. When that happens, the message is, hey, you know, here's the opportunity to change this pattern. That's why we keep bringing up all these circumstances, says your reality. You wanted to bust this one, so here it is. And as an adult, of course, you can do that. But you got to realize when your rage is frozen and unfreeze it, you got to melt yourself. You know, you got to melt it because you're like ice under there when you have frozen rage. Somewhere in your emotional body is ice. It's so shut down, it's numb. There's a big numb place in your emotional body. How do you release that? You do anger releases on your own in meditation. Or you can do anger releases with a pillow and beat a pillow. Or you can do anger releases by writing angry letters. And then burning them, stuff like that. You can do anger releases. Deliberate. Pull the anger up into conscious awareness and do something about it. And after a while, you'll feel empowered in your expression of anger, even if you've never even tried it once on another person. A lot of times, relationships, you attract relationships to you that really will push this particular button, which will say, are you going to be a victim in this relationship or are you going to be empowered? That's generally one of the ways that you say, okay, is this relationship going to work? Is that, can I be empowered in there? Are they empowered? Or is somehow or another, somebody got to control the other one and somebody's got to zip it and somebody's got to create the agendas and things like that. So a part of you, personally, you, are going to fear dealing with relationships because you're afraid of what's going to happen there. And you can project all sorts of things on you standing up for yourself, you speaking your truth, you expressing your anger. But you see, in a situation where you do have anger, you can always say, you know, when you say that or when you do that, here's what I feel. And you can always say it without judging the other person, if you have the presence of mind to do so. If you do enough anger releasing on your own, you will start to get to the place to where you can actually object or disagree and dare speak your truth to another person. in what may seem a situation where they could very easily shut you down or control you or manipulate you or whatever. But if you do it with a presence of mind, realizing, hey, you know, I'm angry. This is a lot of passion, and I'm not going to stuff it down. I have to say something. This is what I feel. Now, you don't say it this way. Now, I feel that you are manipulating me. You don't do it that way. Now, I feel that when you say that, that somehow or another, that I'm obligated to kowtow, or I feel somehow or another that I'm obligated to respond in a very limited way, and I just don't think I want to do that right now. So you don't basically blame anyone else. But you have to speak your truth one way or the other. You can practice in meditation to every person that makes you angry or has made you really, really pissed in your life, and practice telling them what for and beating them up and blowing them up and forgiving them and then sitting down with them and explaining everything and talking your truth and figuring out how you would say this and how you would say that. And all of this is good practice. That one day it comes in really handy. Somebody comes and steps on your foot, and you can say, or you say something, and they all agitated and offended, and all, oh, and your first temptation, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean it. I'll take all that back. Instead of doing that, you'll say, whoa, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but here's how I feel. This is my truth. I'm not judging you or criticizing you. I don't expect you to change anything, but here's what I'm feeling. I apologize if I said it in a way that you felt was hurtful to you. I didn't intend it as such. Please forgive me. What I want to express is what I'm feeling. And it'll be a whole different reality that ensues from that. You understand?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You see, you learned early to suppress your expression. But when you go into the great love, that's not an option anymore. And you must love and appreciate yourself regardless if you put your foot in your mouth and say stupid things. Won't matter. Because you know you will love yourself, you'll make new choices. You can always mend fences with people, not by placating them, but by loving them. And when you love them, you can apologize to them for having offended them when you didn't intend to. But don't ever take back what you've done or said. Don't ever put yourself in the wrong. Don't ever think that you have to shut yourself up under any circumstance. That's not what a light being is about. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So what we would like to do here is we'd like to take another little break. And we'd like to take this break for about, 10 minutes? For about 10 minutes. All right. And so in this next 10 minutes, we would suggest that you just do what you need to do for breaks. Because there's not going to be another one before the end of this event. And you start thinking about what we've talked about, and both in the discussion and also in the question and answers. And look at what you would imagine a healthy relationship to be. Just once again, just kind of now after the question and answer, just go through those 4 points again. Clearing yourself. Forgiving yourself for anything that you've realized. Oh, oops, look what I did. Okay, forgive yourself. Love yourself. Forgive anybody else. Let it go. Let them go. Imagine that relationship where you're free, respected, loving, joyous, celebratory, empowered in your truth and your power. Being able to love, really love, seeing the divine light in yourself and in the other. Seeing the preciousness of the divine. What would that be like on a day-to-day basis? What would it feel like if it were natural to me to be there? What would it feel like if every day, day after day, I was there? Day after day. What would it feel like? What would it be like? What would my life be like? Who would I be? What kind of person would I be? Which also moves into the fourth one. What is being a light being really about? Being a luminous human, being this spiritual adult. Loving without any judging, without any pressure, demand, expectations and assumptions of behaviors. What would it mean to love myself this way and to love someone else this way and to love everyone I meet this way and to see the oneness of it all? What would that be like? What kind of person would I be? And when I looked in my mirror, what would I see? How much light would I see in my eyes? What would it be like? Natural to me, if it were natural. Not something forced, not something strange and bizarre and new, but what if it were just, this is my usual MO, this is my life, this is the way it normally is, naturally. What would that be like? Just feel the energy of that, just kind of sense it. Now, we don't suggest that you need to do any in-depth stuff. You can't do it in 10 minutes. But just kind of briefly run over that. Spend maybe a couple of minutes doing it, 3 minutes out of your 10 minutes. And the rest of the time, just breathe, stretch, go to the bathroom, have some water, do whatever else you need to do. And then when we return, we'll describe the ritual and then take you through it. All right. Farewell.